Well, the lectionary for this week is the Gospel of John, which I'm not going to preach on this, but I'm going to read it, and then Psalm 23, which I'm going to address this morning. But so this passage in John, they're wondering who Jesus is. You know, many of the top Jewish leaders are gathering around and wondering if he's the Messiah or not. But the passage is really about what my dear friend Richard Rohr, who, of course, John loved too, I always quote that wonderful Franciscan priest. He said, this is really about that we are in God, and God is in us, and you are in God, and we are in each other, too. He calls it interabiding. Reminds us there's no separation between us and God. There's no separation. We think we're here and God's there. There's no we inter-are with one another. We're inter- You know, in the Buddhist thing, or in physics, they talk about where everything is interconnected. Everything is part of everything else. We are deeply connected to God. God flows into us and through us. So here's that passage. At the time of the festival, the dedication taking place in Jerusalem, it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. And the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answers, I have told you, and you do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name. Testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Whatever my Father has given to me is greater than all else. And no one can snatch it out of God's hands. The Father and I are one. Amen. And so the psalm, I'm reading a different version this morning, and I think I've shared it before in Watertown, so I apologize to my Watertown friends who are here. But if you remember, it's a version of Psalm 23 by the musician and poet Bobby McFerrin. You remember? Good, I hope you don't remember. Do you remember? It's a beautiful version, and he's a deeply spiritual guy and an incredible musician. It's actually sung, so you go home and YouTube Bobby McFerrin, and you'll get his version singing it. But he writes, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. She makes me lie down in green meadows. Beside the still waters, she will lead. She restores my soul. She rights my wrongs. She leads me in a path of good things and fills my heart with songs. Even though I walk through a dark and dreary land, there is nothing that can shake me. She has said she won't forsake me because I am in her hand. She sets a table before me in the presence of my foes. She anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely, surely, goodness and kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in her house forever, forever, and ever. Glory be to our mother and our daughter and to the Holy of Holies, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. So I didn't change that sermon title. I was thinking of something else earlier in the week, but I'm calling it, She Leads Me in a Path of Good Things. As I mentioned to David and Demi and Layla, God could be a she, God could be he. We could have an image of the Holy Mother as much as the Holy Father. Let us pray together. Gracious and loving Lord, in the words of the psalmist, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So I really love that version, Bobby McFerrin's. It's perfect for Mother's Day. In fact, he wrote it for his mother. Does anyone know Bobby McFerrin is? Yeah. He wrote it for his mother on Mother's Day and put it to music. So I said, if you go home today, just YouTube it, you can listen to it. He's performed with top musicians around the world for decades, jazz, hip-hop, R&B, funk, blues, classical, world music, all kinds of people. On one of his many albums called Spirit Use All, he has adaptations of African-American spirituals and also original devotional songs that he composed. McFerrin said he tries to pray as he sings, too. The hope is that when people hear these pieces, that they'll carry them home with them, and they'll inspire them to begin a spiritual journey or to continue on it. McFerrin's grandfather was a Baptist minister, and he grew up in the Episcopal Church. When he was 16, he wanted to become a monk in the Anglican tradition. He gave up the idea in his early 20s when he realized that he was meant to be a singer, but his religious impulse remained strong. He says, "I love reading the scriptures," adding that he reads the Bible through over and over again. He said he could read the same verse 1,000 times, but the 1,001st time he reads it, he finds something in it that he hadn't seen before. This is really true about reading the scriptures, any sacred text, sacred literature. I mean, I come back to it all over and over, and you know, a different idea emerges every year or every time, because it's fathomless. It's the depth of it. It's you can't exhaust it. It's just so you through just reading, pausing, reflecting, something emerges. So when he's not traveling, McFerrin still attends an Episcopal church, but he doesn't like narrow labels, as I don't think we do either. He said, "I don't really think of myself as a religious person per se, but more of a spiritual person," which a lot of people say today, right? And I think, why do they say that? I think they don't want to get trapped in something that I call churchianity, that you have the experience, the culture of the church, but you've missed the spirit of it, you know, the connection to the divine, to God, in wherever you are, not only in church, but the idea is that we're worshiping together on a Sunday, but we carry it through the week and wherever we go. He said, "I don't really think of myself as a religious person, but a spiritual person who follows Christ, who follows Jesus as my spiritual master." You know, some people call Jesus their guru. And there's nothing wrong with that, because all guru means, the word from to gu is to darkness and ru is light. The one who teacher who leads you from the darkness of ignorance and fear and all of those things to the light of love, compassion, understanding. So McFerrin frequently works with young people trying to help them see the spiritual power of music. It's a lesson he said his mother taught him when he was a boy. She knew how music, and we know that, singing in the choir and singing our hymns, is a healing balm, because whenever I was sick, she'd give me two things. She'd give me medicine for my aches and pains, and she'd give me music for my spirit. McFerrin says music has incredible power. It can rearrange your insides, rearrange your thoughts, heal your body. McFerrin's favorite book in the Bible is the Psalms. Several years ago, he wrote a song based on Psalm 23 that I just read to you. The song has been adopted by choirs across the country and in the world, actually. It was inspired, he said, after he and his choir were rehearsing in a church, and they began discussing the many male images in the Bible. Yeah, there's so many male, but there are a lot of female ones, too. It just seemed to make sense. People forget, you know, there's a father's love, but then there's a mother's love, which complements the father's love, and they fit together nicely, he said. In fact, the Holy Spirit is an archetypal image that evokes the divine feminine. The Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God are closely linked. And wisdom in the Jewish scriptures is called chokmah in Hebrew, or Sophia in Greek, and it's feminine. It's feminine. And so on Mother's Day, it is more than appropriate, I think, to contemplate and worship the feminine aspect of the divine. The God we worship, you know, because it's so important. I mean, on my little meditation altar, I have pictures of Mother Mary and also of Kuan Yin that I wanted to talk about here a little bit. The God we worship is as much feminine as masculine, but God is so much more, and certainly a mystery far beyond our human comprehension. But we get a glimpse of what God is like by looking at Jesus' life and message. But we also get a sense of what this God of ultimate mystery is like by looking at his mother, Mother Mary. It's interesting, I don't know if you know this, in the Quran, in Islam, Mary is revered as the greatest woman of all time. Mentioned 70 times, she is the only woman in the Quran mentioned by name, far more than in the New Testament, in the Quran. I think in our Protestant churches, we have strayed too far from the worship of the feminine aspect of the divine. We're missing something. I mean, it's really strange how the Catholic Church is so patriarchal in so many ways, but yet they also have this divine feminine. They have this glorification of Mother Mary that I think is really important. Bless you. God. We don't talk enough about Mary in our Protestant denominations because the study of Mariology, it's actually a study people do, is a Catholic thing, where they explore the life of Mary. Mary is the Theotokos. Now, you guys go to a Greek Orthodox church, right? Did you know, you heard the word Theotokos before? Talk to your priest. Theotokos means, it's a Greek word, and it means mother of God. Mary's the mother of God, the mother of Jesus, the Theotokos. She gave birth to God. He'll probably talk about it today, right? So ask him about it next week when you're there, what Theotokos is. Tell him you learned that word. So, but it was at the Ecumenical Council in Ephesus in the year 431, it was decided that Mary was the Theotokos. Think about how powerful that image of Mary is. One of Britain's most popular religious shrines is the Shrine of Our Lady of Walsingham. I've never been there. Anybody been there? Walsingham? In a village near the east coast of England, nearly 1,000 years ago, it is said that the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, appeared there and told a pious noblewoman to build the shrine there. This is a 1,000-year-old shrine in England, an exact replica of Mary's own house, supposedly in Nazareth. Walsingham still attracts hundreds of thousands of pilgrims every year from countries as far afield as Nigeria and Argentina, Ethiopia, and the Philippines. And what unites them is their unwavering devotion to Mary. One pilgrim said, "First and foremost, I find it easier to communicate with her, God, I guess, as a mother. And for a long time now, I have just regarded her as my personal mother because my own biological mother is gone. She's dead. The Blessed Mother will save the whole world. Mother Mary is the mother of all people on the earth. I've devoted my life to God and to Mother Mary for all the graces they have given me. From a child, she has always been with me. I saw her when I was 5 years old. Whenever I'm in trouble, Mother Mary seems to appear to help me out." Many of the women who come to Walsingham Shrine don't see Mary as a docile young virgin, but a powerful mother figure. Another female pilgrim said, "As a woman, I see the Blessed Mary as a leader because she was a strong woman, she was a faithful believer, and she risked everything, and she lost her own son. And for me, she was a model of a very strong person, and I admire this because we have to be strong. I am a woman, and I am a mother. Therefore, I can identify with her. For me, Mary is the feeling, the compassionate mother, the all-embracing mother. And I say that because being a mother, I have the experience of having children. In that way, I connect with Mary." So to many lay Catholics, and I know we have a lot of ex-Catholics here, and I was baptized Catholic, as I've mentioned before, Mary is the female gateway through whom they experience the divine. She's the intercessor. God speaks and moves through her to touch the lives of those who pray to her. There are many favorite shrines devoted to Mary all over the world. A few notable ones are, of course, which I hope to get to soon when I visit my in-laws that I haven't met yet in Puebla, Mexico, is Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Of course, then there's also Lourdes in southern France and Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal. The list of shrines devoted to Mother Mary around the world is extensive. Mary has a counterpart, though, too, in the Eastern world. She is known as Kuan Yin in China and Kanon in Japan, Kuan Am in Vietnam, Avalokiteshvara in India, Chenrezig in Tibet, and so on. The name depends what Asian country you're in, but the most common one is Kuan Yin. Anybody heard of Kuan Yin? I've mentioned her a lot because I have a couple of nice statues. My mother actually sent one back, like a 3-foot statue of Kuan Yin from when she was in Mexico, strangely enough. She's the bodhisattva, the enlightened being of compassion in the world. Just like she's the same energy as Mother Mary. It's the same idea. And so there's an island off of the coast of China near Shanghai that I want to get to. It's devoted to Kuan Yin. There are temples and statues, like hundreds of statues of Kuan Yin all over this island. The bodhisattva of compassion. So very similar to Mary. One step from nirvana, but doesn't want to attain nirvana because wants to re-enter the world wherever there's suffering, people struggling, or any sentient being struggling. They choose to stay in the world not to attain nirvana so they can help all in need. And here are the similarities between Kuan Yin and Mother Mary. Both have vowed to come to the aid of all who call upon them for help. Both are protectors of children, of mothers in childbirth, and sailors at sea. Both are the givers of mercy and of comfort during hardship and sorrows. Both are mediators between the helpless and powerful forces. Both Kuan Yin and Mary offer salvation to their followers. Kuan Yin by leading followers to enlightenment, and Mary by being a co-redemptrix in eternal salvation with Jesus, restoring grace to the human family. Both are worshipped with a proliferation of shrines and statues, elaborate litanies, prayers, and festivals, and important pilgrimage sites. And again, as I said, on my meditation table at home, I have all kinds of icons. You know, Mother Mary and statue of Kuan Yin are two very important ones. It helps me to focus, and the idea is to awaken compassion in my heart. I mean, it's not idol worship or anything like that, but just having these things around puts my mind and heart in the right place. So both Mary and Kuan Yin are feminine manifestations of the divine. They are conduits to the eternal. They lead me, to quote a verse from Bobby McFerrin again, in a path of all good things, restoring my soul, cleansing my heart, enlightening my mind. So I think we need to restore the wisdom embodied in the feminine aspect of God. Symbols like Mother Mary and Kuan Yin are important. And the language we use to talk about God, you know, which is theological talk, does make a difference. McFerrin's version of Psalm 23 opens the door. A door allows us to see and experience the other half of God that we worship. You know, so it's important to think of that. So, and today we think of God, the Great Mother, Mother Earth, and I wish you all a very happy and blessed Mother's Day. Amen.